Hello again, nerds. Welcome to another very special episode of the Nerd News. This week, we have Ed Sheeran winning a huge mega lawsuit in the music space. Again, we have Daft Punk releasing new music. Also in music, we have some comic book awesomeness as far as like revitalizing the comic book industry. We have Critical Role telling the writers strike to take their time because they're going to be all right. We also have Mortal Kombat rumors and news in not just the video game portion of things and a whole bunch more. So, to start things off with housekeeping, nerds, as you have probably guessed from the intro, we are doing yet another very special episode of the Nerd News. So this is your week in nerddom. This is also your comic talk headlines and your nerd news headlines, depending on where you normally digest this information. We still have a writer's strike going on, which means there is very little in the TV portion of things, as well as the movie portion of things. We do have actually a bit more in TV than we did last week, but significantly less for movies. So, yeah, I am not one to give you fluff, so we're not just going to pad out those sections. If there's no actual news, then there's no actual news to report on. That being said, there are few pieces of proper housekeeping for the channel that we must take care of quickly. Actually, just one main piece. I think this is not going to be returned to form, but I do believe there is going to be a gap in my schedule this week that we should be able to get a stream in this Friday. I do have some new gear to test out, so that might be riddled with bugs. So if you want to just come see the fire and watch everything burn, then by all means, join on the main YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy, Friday night, round about 7:30 Mountain Standard Time. Beyond that, I think that might be all of the housekeeping that we have for this episode. So, let's get into the music section, shall we? We do have some follow-ups here in the music section. The first one is one that I actually kind of got a little giddy when I heard it. The Foo Fighters have announced that they have a drummer, kind of. Josh Freese is the new drummer for the Foo Fighters, at least for the current set of touring that they have scheduled. Josh, if you don't remember, Josh played with Nine Inch Nails, Josh has played with Danny Elfman. Josh is kind of amazing. I believe he even played with Wes Borland on Black Light Burns, or not Black Light Burns. Yeah, no, Black Light Burns. I think it was Black Light Burns that he was playing with Wes Borland on. Don't quote me on that because I'm not remembering that one exactly. Just kind of shooting from the hip. But still, Josh Freese is an excellent player, is an amazing drummer, is definitely a fantastic addition to the Foo Fighters. So I honestly kind of hope that he sticks around and maybe does an album or two. So that's what we got on that. Let's move next to Ed Sheeran is bringing up some more news, more awesomeness in the legal side of the music industry, which we don't see that very often. But a second lawsuit has just been dismissed against Ed Sheeran for the song Thinking Out Loud, as he is being sued for it kind of sort of resembling, I honestly can't even remember the song that he's supposed to have been stealing. Let's Get It On. There we go. I did take the good notes this time. So Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On is supposedly, the Marvin Gaye estate is suing Ed Sheeran because it supposedly sounds too similar, to which Ed Sheeran legitimately got up in the examination booth or whatever it's called in court and showed the musical theory behind where his song came from and why it legitimately does sound similar to Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. But then Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On sounds like a dozen other songs that are older than it. So yeah, it was beautiful. It's amazing. Sheeran just kind of gave the entire music, the performing side of the music industry, a giant W. twice now with this lawsuit, because this is the second time he's been sued for the same thing, which is pretty great. So yeah, I did want to note in this the judge's closing statements, the published statements were as follows. There was an excerpt is as follows. Let me see if I can get to it. Here we go. It is an unassailable reality that the chord progression and harmonic rhythm in Let's Get It On are so commonplace in isolation and in combination that to protect their combination would give Let's Get It On an impermissible monopoly over a basic musical building block. Hooray for logic. Isn't that amazing? All right, so that's what we have for follow-ups and corrections in music this week. Let's get to some new music to talk about. New music. We have two new songs three songs, but we'll get to that. First one is Mutoid Man. Mutoid Man is something of a supergroup of the Outcast musical tastes. So Mutoid Man features members of High on Fire, Converge, and Cave In. All three great bands. If you've never heard of them and you really like aggressive music, check them out, especially Converge. They're just great stuff. Mutoid Man released a new single called Call of the Void. It actually comes from a new record from the supergroup. This will be their first record with their new bass player. I believe he is the High on Fire edition. New album is due July 28th. It's called Mutants. This Mutoid Man song and the video that came out with it are great. The video is hilarious. The song is just like, it's like this weird, catchy, poppy, very subversive kind of sound that is exactly what I was in the mood to hear as soon as I put it on. So I'm super stoked that this is a thing that is happening, and I want more of it in my ears, please. As well should you. Go check out Mutoid Man, Call of the Void. It's pretty great. Next, we're talking about some new Dave Matthews Band music. I know we don't talk about Dave Matthews Band very often. I do have an appreciation for the good old DMB, though. That's about as close to a jam band as I ever got. But we're talking about two songs, but he did release a new record this week. So the two songs that I listened to were Looking for a Vein and The Only Thing. The name of the new record is Walking Around the Moon, came out on the 19th. This new stuff, according to the two songs that I've listened to off of this record that we are talking about right now, there is definitely shades of the Dave Matthews from the 90s, the Crash era Dave Matthews, where he kind of got insanely huge. But I feel like there's just a little bit too much of the modern Dave Matthews in here for me to fully appreciate it. Modern Dave Matthews puts his vocal over the rest of the instrumentation, whereas the pop stuff off of that Crash record was still, you know, upwards of 4 minutes. The two songs that I listened to off of this record both come in under 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So yeah, just a little too poppy for the Dave that I know and have an appreciation for. Still an amazing voice. Like, there's a reason why they highlight his voice in the mix so hard, but I feel like the rest of the band are incredible musicians as well, and they deserve highlight just as much as his voice does. So yeah, just not exactly what I wanted out of Dave Matthews, but still very listenable, very well done. If you like this kind of stuff, you will love this new record, I'm sure, and that's kind of all we got to say about that. So from there, let's go into some tours and festivals. We do have a very awesome festival just got announced this past week. In Flames every year does a festival called, I'm going to try and say this properly, but it's in Swedish, so I'm already apologizing. Dalala. Dalala Brinner Festival. This year happens August 25th and 26th. It will be in Sweden. I didn't exactly see a city in Sweden, so I do apologize. The lineup for those 2 days are as follows. The 25th, we have In Flames, Killswitch Engage, Fit for an Autopsy, and Maul. Don't know Maul, but the rest of that lineup is incredible. And then we have on the 26th, obviously, In Flames again, Hypocrisy, Psilosis, and Hormdal. Yeah, Heimdall. I don't know that band either, but Hypocrisy, Psilosis, both very, very incredible bands as well. So it sounds like if you are near the place that this is happening in Sweden, you are lucking out if you are a metalhead fan. Tickets, there are actually tickets available for this. You can follow the link down in the description if you are looking to get your Swedish metal on. From there, we have another tour announced. Fear Factory has announced a European tour with their new vocalist. This tour is going to show support from Butcher Babies and Ignia. Don't know Ignia, not a fan of Butcher Babies. Still very intrigued by the new vocalist of Fear Factory, but starts October 27th in Nottingham, UK, runs through December 16th in Helsinki, Finland. That's pretty crazy. But that is what we have for tours and festivals. So we got a couple of things. So from there, we go to Tool. And the state of Florida. And there has been an update to this since the original reporting, and we didn't talk about it last week, so we're gonna do the original piece plus the update that came out, I believe, yesterday morning since I took these notes. But Maynard James Keenan took to the stage at the Welcome to Rockville Festival in Florida and came out on stage in drag, presumably because he was trying to protest the new law about drag shows and how children are not legally allowed to attend a drag show. The definition of a drag show we'll get into in just a moment. But so Maynard has come out again since the initial reporting on this incident and said, I wasn't protesting anything. That's just kind of who I am, which makes a lot more sense to me now because Maynard is a very intelligent person. So for him to protest in such a manner seems highly uninformed because, let's get into this, the way a drag show is defined by the law in the state of Florida is as follows. Any show, exhibition, or other presentation in front of a live audience which in whole or in part depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement or specific sexual activities that includes lewd contact or the lewd exposure of prosthetic or imitation genitals or breasts, unquote. So, basically a strip show. It's cabaret, right? So most drag shows, and I've been to a drag show. I think I've been to more than just the one, but only one of them's coming to mind. I've been to drag shows in the past. Not something that's new to me, not something that I'm really uncomfortable with at all. But I would not take anybody under, honestly, I would not take anybody under the age of 25 to a drag show just because certain things in the brain that just like don't fully understand what's going on as far as like the social implications or the larger picture of things until you're into your 20s. So honestly, I would be really apprehensive to take anybody under the age of 25, definitely nobody under the age of 21 to a drag show that is a cabaret. There is a difference between people dressing in drag and performing a thing like say music and a quote unquote drag show, which is cabaret. You would not take children to a straight cabaret show because there's very probably going to be nudity and sexually explicit content and so on and so forth, etc., etc. Same thing applies on the other side of that coin. So when I saw that Maynard was protesting by dressing in drag to perform music, it was like, how does somebody with such a high IQ not understand the difference between dressing in drag and performing a show and performing a drag, quote unquote, drag show? And apparently he does because he said, that's not what I was doing at all. I'm just a weirdo. Definitely paraphrasing. So yeah, that's interesting, super awesome. The other piece that we have to talk about for music news is Placebo. I was supposed to go see Placebo this last week and I didn't because they canceled the show like an hour before it was supposed to start. An hour before doors were supposed to open. So an hour and a half roughly before the actual show was supposed to start. No real explanation was given, just sickness in the band. But if it was a sickness, then presumably, I don't know everything, so I could be wrong. And if it legitimately is something that all of the sudden just onset sickness, then my heart goes out and I hope they're feeling better or whatever. But Presumably, what happened, if you were sick, then you would know many hours ahead of time. Like, you wake up and go, oh my god, I can't breathe, or oh my god, my head feels like it's going to explode, or my bowels feel like they're going, something along the lines. But that, you know, an hour, so in the state of Colorado, right now we are covered in smoke that has come down from Canada. Thank you very much, Linus Tech Tips. So, as our air quality is suboptimal. The band Placebo also does not like to be in the States. And so the assumption on our side, on the fans' side of things is, well, they were looking for a reason to cancel the show and they got it because the lead vocalist, head songwriter, the artist type person in charge of the band, I can't think of his name and I apologize, but got up on stage and... I got the black lung pop, and then show canceled. So it was unfortunate. We'll get into greater detail in the That Just Happened show for this week. But that, Placebo didn't happen. And so, yeah, we have to move right along. As it pertains to Daft Punk. Daft Punk, if you remember, not so long ago, broke up, called it quits, are retiring from the music industry. But then they released new music. What's going on here? It's not exactly new music, and it's not exactly a brand new album. What we got is Random Access Memories, which was the last record that they produced. Random Access Memories is 10 years old, and that makes me feel old. But it's the anniversary edition re-release of the album. It is a two-disc set. I put Daft Punk back in the top 40 on Billboard, which is awesome because they deserve... I'm very surprised when stuff like this like just doesn't stay there for years and years, but it has been a decade, so I can't be too mad at it. But, so put them in the top 40 once again. Also, on this new record, on this new version of Random Access Memories, like I said, there's an extra disc of new music. Not all... none of it is actually new music. A lot of it is like outtakes and alternate versions of things, but we did get one proper new song that was recorded at the time of Random Access Memories, just didn't make it onto the record. So if you are interested in listening to it, which I have yet to get my grubby little mitts on, but I do plan on it because Daft Punk is amazing, then you can go pick up the 10-year anniversary edition. And from what I have heard, again, haven't listened to any of the actual music, but from all of the reporting I have read on this, the bonus material is basically a new record's worth of music because some of the alternate takes are so different that they might as well be a completely different song. So that's pretty awesome. Very excited about that. We will probably be talking about that in the That Just Happened show as soon as, you know, that happens as far as my ears are concerned. That is what we have for regular ass news. So let's jump into suggestions for music this week. I went a little old school on you, some 90s alt punk, and that is Eve 6, alt rock punk, whatever the hell you want to call them. Eve 6, Horoscope specifically, their second big record. Didn't go with the Inside Out record because it's just a little overplayed, but Horoscope is one of the... So in the 90s, a lot of bands put out a lot of great singles, and then kind of a lot of filler on their records as well. Horoscope is not an example of that. This record is solid from front to back. If you like some radio-friendly, though lyrically challenging stuff, then definitely Eve 6 is the way to go. It's very bright, it's upbeat. There are some draggy tunes on there, but that's purposeful. It's called dynamics, people. Learn it. Absolutely love this record. Listen to it probably twice in the last week, and you should do the same because it is worth your time. Go check out Eve 6 Horoscope this week as your music suggestion. Okay. That brings us into gaming and tech. More follow-ups here in the gaming and tech section. So, starting off the follow-ups and corrections section, we have Dead by Daylight. Nicolas Cage has been announced as a character coming to the game, Dead by Daylight. No announcement as to, like, who he's going to, like if it's going to be some sort of horror movie villain, because, you know, recently he did play Dracula in the Renfield movie. No, that's not what he's doing. He's just likely playing himself in a horror video game, which is strangely amazing, and I love it, and it's just pretty badass. Yeah, so that's what we got on that one. Our next follow-up has to do with Mortal Kombat. I would say 12, but it is legitimately one, so the rumors were true. I was wrong with my assumption that it would come out on Friday, as evidenced by the text on last week's episode. But yeah, I thought the trailer was going to hit Friday. It did, in fact, hit Thursday. It is officially being called Mortal Kombat 1. If you have not watched the trailer yet, what the hell are you doing? Go watch it, because yeah, that was badass. But yeah, so Mortal Kombat 1, rumors were right. So far, the rumors were right. We're going to get into more rumors with this game in the rumor section, so stick for that. But right now, as it stands, Mortal Kombat 1, that rumor, and the rumor about, you know, Thursday trailer. From there, we have Spider-Man 2 follow-up. Spider-Man 2 will not, in fact, be a co-op game, as confirmed by Insomniac themselves. This was apparently a rumor that I did not pick up on until Insomniac took it upon themselves to squash it. No, there will be no co-op option for Spider-Man 2, unfortunately. So, from follow-ups and corrections, we now go into trailers. We do have a new trailer this week, and oh boy, is it ever a trailer and a half. Diablo 4 story trailer. Super excited. We also got a gameplay trailer. I think that was 2 weeks ago, so it doesn't necessarily count. Both of them are worth a watch. Still a little divisive. There are still some issues that the fan base is going, I don't know about this just yet. But this trailer does its job. Definitely gets you hype about walking through that story mode. So, yeah, go check it out. It's epic. Moving on. And that actually, it brings us, there's no regular ass news in gaming and tech. I thought there was, but my notes were wrong. So, that brings us to suggestions this week for gaming and tech. And I have to say, I spent entirely too much time in the last week. That's why this episode's going up a little late. Playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I seriously bought a Switch just for this game. I will get the other games that we've talked about on here previously, specifically Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, etc. But it was, yeah, Tears of the Kingdom. As soon as I saw the launch trailers and as soon as I saw all the gameplay stuff happening on launch day, I couldn't say no. So I went out and got a Switch and have been playing entirely too much Tears of the Kingdom over the last week. It's amazing. You should play it. I'm not going to waste any more time. Just do it. Do the thing. Do it now. All right, so comic books and books is actually fairly small this week as well. Comic books and movies are going to be our smallest sections. So let's jump into this. Follow-ups and corrections. Daredevil. We've been keeping kind of tabs on Daredevil because presumably there's going to be some sort of correlation between the current Daredevil book that's got Chip Zdarsky and company doing the story and art and then the upcoming Daredevil series. So Feige has said that, you know, keep your eye on the comics because that's where we're going to be testing ideas for this, for live action, and so that's why this has been a thing that's been ongoing for us. But we got a new creative team. Chip Zdarsky and Marco Cecchetto, I'm so sorry for mispronouncing that name, will be coming to an end. Their run on the book will be coming to an end in August. Marvel just announced their replacement. We got Saladin Ahmed and Aaron Kudor. We talked about Saladin actually last week for a different reason. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but now we'll get a little bit more exposure to his writing. I feel like it was a Batman thing. We'll get more exposure to his writing, and I'm super excited about that. The Daredevil stuff with Zdarsky has not done terribly. It's not great. It's also kind of some of the better stuff on DC right now, so that's saying something, I think. From there, we go to regular-ass news. Regular-ass news, we got One Piece, and this is super exciting because it is a sign of a shift in the industry, which we've been waiting for. Oh, comic book fans, we have been waiting for. The legendary Chuck Dixon is now doing a book in the Ripaverse. Young Ripa is a YouTuber. His actual name I didn't write down because it's fairly irrelevant to this. Just know he is pushing back against the industry. He's pushing back against woke ideology. He is a young black man who is doing an amazing thing for the community in that he started his own comic book label, effectively, called the Ripaverse. So Chuck Dixon has been brought in to do not a comic book necessarily. He's been brought in to do very specifically a graphic novel called Alpha Core. So graphic novel meaning it's going to be released as a whole book and not as episodic content, but still pretty awesome. Dixon's kind of been around the industry for a long time, so this is a giant stamp of legitimization for the Ripaverse and for the subsection or the large subsection of the comic book fandom that just really wants good story, doesn't give a crap about social politics. This is awesome. That's what we've got for regular ass news. So let's get into our book suggestion for this week. Books suggestion, not comic books again. We're sticking with this literary thing, man. We have Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. There are 6 books that Asimov wrote specifically in the Foundation series. As he got later in his career, there are definitely other books that tie into the Foundation series, but very specifically, we're talking about Foundation all the way through, oh, I can't even remember what the extended books, the title of the extended books, and I apologize, but Foundation series, in celebration of season 2 coming to Apple TV Plus, let's just catch up. The first Asimov Foundation book is super easy. It's relatively short. I think it's sub 300 pages, so it should take you an afternoon to read. And then from there, they get significantly bigger each book beyond that. And the 6th book is like the Brothfuss book we talked about last week. So yeah, that is your recommendation for the week. I have read all 6 books. It's been a couple of years, so I'm probably going to join you in this. At least the books 4, 5, and 6 will be, I'll need a refresher on because I've read 1, 2, and 3 so many times. Anyway, go read Isaac Asimov's Foundation books. Start at the front, start in the middle, start wherever you want. They're all fantastic books and you'll piece it together in the end anyway. That is your suggestion for the week. That brings us to the TV portion of today, and honestly, this is mostly follow-ups. So yeah, let's get to this real quick. First up, we have Agatha, Coven of Chaos, might have undergone another name change. According to actress Aubrey Plaza, who is going to be in the show, she's taken to her socials and posted some things. One of those is a picture of a script that has the title, what is the name of the damn, Darkhold Diaries. That's what it was, Darkhold Diaries. So possibly changing the name. Feige is shaking things up over on the Marvel side of things. I think it's because Iger is forcing him to, because he's not making money anymore. Well, not making the same money anymore. And so they feel like it's probably because of certain issues we're not going to necessarily talk about, because, you know, public opinion being what it's perceived to be. I don't even think it's 100% public opinion, but Coven of Chaos might have changed its name to Darkhold Diaries, or that could be just an episode title for the series. Remains to be seen, but we will be keeping tabs on this because it's an interesting potential. From there, we go into the fall of the House of Usher. We got an update from Netflix. We got a release window. That release window is August. I believe it was August 30th, though I could be wrong because it's not in the notes. I don't know why it didn't make it into the notes, but there's a link that will take you to the source that'll give you the rough window. I think it was just August as a month. Either way, sorry, bad, we'll follow up, I promise. From there, let's go over to Walking Dead, Dead City. We finally got a premiere date for it. It will be on, or I'm sorry, not finally got a premiere. They bumped up the premiere date is what the news is here. Premieres on AMC Plus June 15th. It is still going to be June 18th on AMC Broadcast. But if you subscribe to AMC Plus, then you will get it 3 days earlier, which is awesome because I'm champing at the bit for this one. This is going to be such a cool series. They're setting it up to be such a cool series. I don't want to get ahead of myself. From there, let's go to some more cancellations. Oh boy. Lockwood and Company, if you remember, was a suggestion on this channel some months back because I legitimately watched the entire series in the span of about 2 days, or the entire season 1. It was entertaining. It was very simple. It's based on a young adult fiction novel, which is why it was fairly simple, but very entertaining. Very definitely did its job and did the thing well and had you intrigued for more by the time you got to the end. And now Netflix is axing it. So Netflix just really, really wants people to not subscribe to their service anymore, apparently. From there, we have one other cancellation to talk about. And this isn't even technically a proper cancellation, but the live-action Powerpuff Girls series that was went through so many iterations over at the CW, so many to the point that they had a pilot episode that went to air, got horrible backlash, the feedback was terrible, so they scrapped it and were going to redo that, and now the redo is what has been canceled. No longer are they doing a live-action Powerpuff Girls series over at the CW, and thank God for that. From there, that's what we got for follow-ups and corrections. We did get one trailer in the TV section this week, and that is Kong Skull Island, the animated... Oh boy, this is such a rat's nest of things. But so there's an animated Kong series called Skull Island that is coming to Netflix. There is also a live action series that is coming to Apple TV Plus that is called MonsterVerse. And then there's also the Monarch series, and I can't remember where that one's going, but that's based on the same properties. No, I think I'm confusing them. I apologize. So let's take that back. Kong, the Skull Island show is Netflix. The MonsterVerse got changed to Monarch and is on Apple TV Plus. That's what it was. Sorry, my brain kind of farted for a second, but I fixed it. So this is not necessarily tied directly into the Monarch series, but it is still somehow into the... I don't even know. It's so hard to keep track with this stuff because the rights are all wibbly-wobbly jumbled up. So we got a trailer. It's interesting. The animation's fantastic. This is going to be more in the anime side of things and less in the children's programming side of things. And I dig it. I can get behind that. From there, we have regular ass news to get out of the way. And this is fairly significant, if not, I don't know. We'll just get into it. So Critical Role, the ever popular, ever famous Critical Role, they're going to be doing a one-off episode this month, May 30th, to be precise. They're going to be doing that one-off episode based on Legend of Zelda. They're going to do... Their episodes run fairly long, so I'd imagine you're looking at probably about an hour, hour and a half worth of Critical Role doing voices for Legend of Zelda. How are they going to do voices for Legend of Zelda tabletop D&D style? Because, like, if whoever is playing Link just will not talk. Because Link doesn't talk. So yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. I'm super excited about it. And that's definitely a Critical Role going, we don't have writers, except for our DM, but like, he doesn't count as a writer. He's planning our adventure. And then all of the writing, quote unquote, is improv. So yeah, let's let the writer strike happen. Let's take advantage and do something that is going to be very likely amazing. And they can take care of their stuff on the side. That's what we got there. That's everything we got. So let's talk about TV suggestion this week. We're going back to Miss Maisel just because season 5, episode 8, was... this is very potentially perfect television. This episode very specifically is possibly perfect television. Has you rolling on the floor, has you thinking about philosophical depths of how the genders interact and how the world perceives this group of people versus this group of people, and also like incredible character development, just so much amazing about this show. We only have one episode left. I'm pretty sure it's only going to 9 episodes. Better be an hour and a half long episode, man, because I still have so many questions. But if you are falling behind on your Marvelous Miss Maisel, you absolutely need to catch up, because episode 8 of season 5 is the best piece of television I've seen in I don't even know how many years. Go watch it. Which brings us into the movies section. Movies, it's only follow-ups. That's all we got. So let's get into that. First up, King Conan. This one we've kind of been keeping tabs on. There's not been a whole lot of developments very recently because it's been in development hell for, oh, I don't know, 20 years. But we did get something from Arnold where he has cast doubt on the idea that we will ever get a King Conan movie. Apparently, a script exists, according to Arnold, but that script, again, development hell, the rights are all over the place, and so might not get made. That script might not get made, another script might get made, but this all kind of comes at the same time that Arnold has said that he is not going to be revisiting the Terminator franchise. So if they make new Terminator movies, it will be without Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You hate to see him go, but they at this point, it's like the originals were so great, and then the sequels, maybe not as much. So maybe it's best if that's the way it goes.
And then our other follow-up this week, oh boy, rumor confirmed, Mortal Kombat 2, Carl Urban is in fact going to be playing Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2. And I just lost a whole lot of faith in this movie. I'm something of a Mortal Kombat fan. I don't know if you noticed, but yeah. I also really love Carl Urban. Just him for the role of Johnny Cage is not how I pictured that going at all. Somebody younger, John Cena, The Miz, somebody like that makes so much more sense than Carl Urban. Carl Urban's better actor than those guys, but you don't have to be a great actor to be an asshole like Johnny Cage. Like, it's just not, oh man. Tati Gabrielle, who I'm pretty sure was in the Sabrina series on Netflix. She was one of the weird sisters. She is said to be next up, going to be announced for Jade. Technically, that's a rumor, but it's coming from trades at this point. So we'll keep tabs if this changes, but it sounds like this is pretty much set in stone at this point. I really dig her for Jade. Legit, that was a good casting choice. Carl Urban for Johnny Cage? No. I love Carl Urban. I don't really like Johnny Cage as a character, but he's integral to one of my favorite IPs of all time. So you got to do it right. And I don't think that was done right. That's all we got. Like I said, just follow-ups for movies. So let's talk about suggestion for movies this week. Equilibrium. We're going a little bit old school, if you will. 2002 old school. Equilibrium was supposed to be the Matrix killer and whatnot and so forth. And Christian Bale, Taye Diggs, the director of this was Kurt Weimer, Emily Watson also in this. Just a fantastic movie. It is a great action movie. The science fiction elements of this that make you question things exactly what science fiction was intended to do. Absolutely a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. If you haven't seen it for a while, refresh your memory, man, because this movie, worth your time. Go watch Equilibrium this week as your movie suggestion. And that rounds us out to the rumor mill. Rumor mill, baby. All right, so Mortal Kombat 1 is our confirmation this week. Kind of, sort of, Mortal Kombat 2 as well. Mortal Kombat 1 confirmation obviously happened on Thursday, like they said it was going to. Also, it is Mortal Kombat 1, like they said it was going to be. And then Mortal Kombat 2, Carl Urban, that rumor got confirmed this week as well. So yeah, couple of confirmations with the Mortal Kombats. We also have a new rumor for Mortal Kombat. We'll get to that in a moment. But we have a new source for an old rumor. The Ubisoft Star Wars game is our new source. New source says that the open world project has a release window right now of 2024. Which is actually kind of soon, considering we haven't heard any official word on this for some time. So yeah, we'll be keeping tabs on that one for sure as we get closer to the middle of this year. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more rumors surrounding this. Otherwise, let's move into new rumors, baby. So new sources, new rumors. We've got a new one for Fantastic Four. This is another casting rumor for Fantastic Four. This one seems slightly more possible than previous ones. We'll get to that. The rumor is David Diggs is the new actor that the rumor mill is saying will be cast as Ben Grimm, or the blue-eyed, ever-loving thing. Ever-loving blue-eyed thing. That's, I had it backwards. I apologize. But yeah,
So the whole blue-eyed thing, kind of weird, but David Diggs is a legit actor. And honestly, like, Ben Grimm in the comic books is Jewish, and David Diggs is half Jewish, I believe. It's like his mom or something, his dad. So that might be the Feige line of logic that connects these two people, the fictional character and the actor who is set to play him. It sits in line. This is kind of what you're expecting out of Disney Marvel these days. So yeah, I gotta say there's some credibility here. It comes from honestly two pretty good sources. So we're gonna put this one at about 75% likely that we'll see David Diggs playing Ben Grimm in the Fantastic Four movie. From there, another Superman Legacy movie or rumor. But the reason this isn't a new source for an old rumor is this one has to do with Bradley Cooper being legitimately cast as Lex Luthor. Let's take this for a moment. Previously, it was said, James Gunn said, I'm not going to comment on people who are auditioning for a role, but that was specifically for Superman and Lois is what he was responding to. He has said very little, if anything, about the Lex Luthor situation. So those previous rumors about casting for Lex Luthor, everybody just kind of chalked it up to that. This one, though, seems a little bit more legit because of something else James Gunn has said. James Gunn has said in recent past that he is going to be working with one of his Guardians of the Galaxy actors in the new Superman Legacy. Just hasn't been made clear who or what role and so on and so forth. So to say Bradley Cooper cast as Lex Luthor gives this a little bit more legitimacy. Bad source making this connection, though, so not as legitimate as potentially some people are thinking. We're going to go 70%, and that's a very, very generous 70% for the Bradley Cooper Lex Luthor rumor. From there, we have one more piece of rumor, and that is Mortal Kombat 1. Let's get into this. There has been a reported leak from Amazon as they listed the first DLC pack, the first combat pack for the game. Which this just sounds like placeholder. This doesn't sound like legit, but let's get into the rumor. So leaked characters are as follows: Quan Chi, Omni-Man, Ermac, Takeda, Peacemaker, Homelander. Oh, and I'm a big fat liar. There's one more rumor after this, but I'll give you that list one more time: Quan Chi, Omni-Man, Ermac, Takeda, Peacemaker, Homelander. There are a number of giant red flags in this one. First, NetherRealm Studios is owned by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers only has the right to use Peacemaker of those three guest characters on this list. So Homelander, Warner Brothers does not have the rights to, and Omni-Man, Warner Brothers does not have the rights to. So that automatically shows us that this is wrong. The other thing that is a giant red flag here is three guest characters in this DLC pack. I know they don't always follow their own rules over at NetherRealm, but three guest characters, three very, very similar guest characters in one DLC pack sounds bogus. This sounds like if there is any legitimacy to it at all, then somebody at NetherRealm was just putting names in as placeholders, and that's what got out somehow, some way. So no, I don't think there is any legitimacy to this as a whole. So we're gonna do these characters individually, percentage wise, whether or not they're going to be in the game. Quan Chi, I'm gonna put that at about 80% likely Quan Chi will be in the game. Omni-Man, no, I don't think Omni-Man will be showing up at all. We're gonna put that at about 10%. I'll be very, very surprised. Ermac, I think Ermac is almost a given at this point. I think he will be DLC though. I don't think he's going to be main roster. So that gives us even more legitimacy, but yeah, Ermac, we're gonna put him at about, we're gonna say about 75% to 75% for Ermac. And then Takeda, I would love to see Takeda again. I don't think it's gonna happen in this game. I think the combat kids are probably gonna take a backseat to a couple of new characters, mostly revisits to existing characters pre-combat kids. So Takeda, I'm gonna put him about 30% likely. As far as Peacemaker, this one has some potential. We'll say probably 30% also for Peacemaker. Homelander, I'm going to say that one's at 10% as well, because again, reasons we've already laid out. So from there, our actual final rumor has to do with Microsoft. Microsoft has been rumored to be developing their own chipsets, or processors rather, much like Apple has done with their M1, M2, and M3, I believe, was just announced or was rumored, one of the two. No, M4 was rumored. M3 was just announced. So, there is a reason that they would want to do this. For everything, every reason that Apple gave us that they, as the reason that they did theirs, same stuff applies to Microsoft. That's the same stuff. But there is a lot of development that needs to go into a new chip. It needs to go into chip development at all. So likelihood seems pretty slim considering how widespread Microsoft has been as far as just like all of the things they have their hands in. So that seems to lend itself to not be true right now. 5 years down the road, will we see a processor developed by Microsoft? Possibly. Will we see an announcement for that, such a thing? That seems slightly more likely. Is it happening right now? Probably not. So we're going to say because of the long-term implications, that's the only reason we're going above 50%, and we're only going a little bit above 50%, at 65% likely that Microsoft is currently looking at developing their own silicon. So from there, nerds, that's what we got. That's all the time I have. I just was interrupted by my timer because we're running on a quick schedule this week, and I got day job things to do, man. So I appreciate your faces. Thank you very much, nerds. If you are listening on one of the audio outlets, be sure to find the YouTube channel Generally Nerdy, or you can go check out Nerd News Clips if you want the shorter, more digestible bits and more short form content. That's where all of that stuff gets posted. If you are watching the YouTube, go find the audio outlets. We got Nerdy Legion. There's a bunch of great podcasts on that network that deal with other things that are a little bit more comic book specific, but still entertainment specific in general as well. And then also Big Show Entertainment Network's a little dormant these days, but lots of stuff still brewing in the background for them. That being said, that's all we got. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here, man.